stayed up late again watching TV with my best friend, laughing at the late night show. I don't know what's wrong with me, cause I know I need my rest. But if I don't stay up all night, sleep all day, I ain't at my best.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Friday morning, 251-343-0106. You want to be in touch with the show, you text me, time permitting. Guys, I failed to give you my football picks. Not that you were wanting to know them, but I will make them, but we'll do better next week. We're making time for those. But joining us now on the line, he is our returning champion. Always a pleasure to bring on State Senator Chris Elliott. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I am doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for making time. Always appreciate it. Well, you know, here we are. It's slowed down, at least legislatively, but it's November 7th. We're coming out of, I think, was a good night for Democrats. I think this is just going to prolong the federal government shutdown. But, you know, kind of looking at the political landscape right now, and you know, I don't think it matters much to Alabama, but I think the shutdown will probably be a little longer because of this week.
Well, I think you're probably right. I mean, the Democrats are probably feeling emboldened in the fact that they've won in New Jersey and Virginia, where they usually do pretty well anyway. I mean, there's been some anomalies recently, but when I left Virginia, you know, 25, 30 years ago after college, you know, I was leaving because it was turning way too blue and not my kind of state anymore. So it doesn't surprise me at all that, you know, people, you know, in the People's Republic of Northern Virginia came out in droves and voted for a Democrat. It shouldn't surprise anybody else nationally. So I don't think it's quite the bellwether that they're thinking. And I certainly don't think that what happens in New Jersey or Virginia means anything in Alabama. It may mean something for politics in those particular states, but other than that, it doesn't mean anything here.
Yeah, and it's just it is what it is. We do this every 2-4 years, whatever. Well, this time around will be different. The party in power could gain seats, isn't it awesome? And you know, it's just. Republicans may, you know, and this is a subjective comment, they may have the merits and they may have the moral high ground or whatever, and they could go out and say, well, this is the same CR that Democrats voted for during Biden's presidency. But none of that matters. What matters is what motivates people to get up off the couch and vote. And right now the energy is all on the Democrat side of the equation.
Well, I think Republicans need to focus a little bit more on messaging and the details of the messaging. I know that, you know, the more complicated the message is, the harder it is to explain to the voters. That's just common sense. But we've got to get beyond the Democrats caused this or the Republicans caused this, and we've got to talk about why. We've got to talk about the fact that that Obamacare is very expensive, right? Giving away free stuff to you know, at taxpayer expense, it's expensive. And when we do that, we run up record deficits, and that's not good. And so that's exactly what's happening here. Republicans said when we first passed Obamacare, hey, this is going to be really expensive. And guess what? It is. And so that shouldn't surprise anyone. And if you want to continue to have cheap government-subsidized health care, then we'll continue to, you know, to have incredibly expensive deficit spending. And that's what we're in line for if we do what the Democrats want. They're holding the entire country hostage so that they can continue deficit spending, out-of-control deficit spending. Who thinks that's a good idea?
Well, I don't think that lands, though. I don't think people – I mean, you're right. Deficit spending is not good, but – what matters to me right now, what matters to me today, but we've been hearing this our entire lives, Senator, you know, deficit spending and, you know, going back to Reagan and how high you'd have to stack, dollar bills for $1 trillion bills and things like that. And yeah, it's frightening. And, you know, we see what happens around the world when countries overspend. But the problem I think is that, like, it just doesn't resonate. It's not you're right about the messaging. And I don't know that that's the message that wins the day.
Well, it may not be, but I can promise you pointing fingers back and forth at each other and say this is the Democrats and them saying this is the Republicans is not good enough to convince voters of why this is occurring. What they see is a dysfunctional government, and that's not leadership, and they get just mad at Congress in general, and that's understandable. There has to be a reason, and we need to articulate the reason. The Democrats are articulating a reason. Your health insurance is going to be more expensive if we don't do what we want. Okay, that people understand that, right? Well, the counter to that, I think, needs to be something, and something is the truth, which is, you know, government giveaways drive up deficit spending, and it's unsustainable. We said it was unsustainable. This is why we made this temporary, and so we'd have to come back and look at it. We've seen how much it costs, and it's just unaffordable.
Well, how much of it is just this, that it's not, you know, it's not even that. It's just we had the big bad orange man in office. We don't like him. We're going to go to Halloween Express and buy a inflatable penis costume. You know, we're mad. And Republicans, on the other hand, well, we kind of like the way things are, but we're not like super, you know, lit up about anything going on. And there's just it's overcoming that enthusiasm gap that seems to be a problem for Republicans. And I don't know how much messaging you can do to ignite a spark and really stem what I think is going to be a big Democrat year at this point.
Well, I do think that I'll agree with the Democrats on one thing, and that is that the president needs to get involved and engaged on this. You know, the party gets energized when he is involved. He needs to engage, and he needs to lead, and he will. But he's kind of let Congress do its thing. Here we still are. But it is time, in my opinion, for him to engage. And I think that time is coming pretty soon. And we'll see him get engaged with a message in a clear direction. And listen, that message may be compromised. And some of us, you know, might not like that. And I probably will be one of them that doesn't like that. But when he shows Congress the direction he wants to go, then we'll get out of this. And I think he's on the cusp of doing that.
So you don't think today have any idea? Because when you hear the president talk about the shutdown, it's, hey, let's end the filibuster. I think that's a non-starter.
I think it is. I mean, look, I served in the Alabama Senate. We got bogged down last session with filibusters that lasted forever. You know, you and I have talked about the Senate rules and filibusters. Obviously the rules of the United States Senate are just, if not more so, you know, really valued by the institutionalists in the world. And I think the likelihood that those institutionalists would ever let that happen is pretty slim. They all like the ability to know that they can get up and single-handedly stop anything as long as they just have the will to stand there and talk about it forever. And so they seem willing, we included, seem willing to not get something done if we can preserve our right and our power to kill things and keep things from getting done. And that seems to be prevalent on both sides of the aisle. Although what we did last year has, you know, and failed to get done last year certainly has me thinking twice about it.
Joined by State Senator Chris Elliott here on the program. Looking to the legislative session, you guys, I guess first up, you had contract review yesterday. Walk us through anything we need to know there.
Yeah, you know, that has become one of my favorite committees. It's a joint interim committee, so it's House members and senators. And what we do is we look in detail at every single contract the administration has out there for mostly professional services contracts or other services. So think, you know, engineering firms or, you know, whoever the Department of Education is hiring to, you know, do whatever kind of testing or things like that. And you get to see some really interesting and sometimes some pretty bizarre stuff that these bureaucrats are trying to just sneak through. And so for me and somebody who focuses an awful lot on government spending, government, you know, waste, fraud, and abuse, it's the perfect spot and time to really go through that stuff in detail. And I'll tell you, I've been really pleased with the changes we've seen just in my short time on that committee, where the agency heads and some of the mid-level bureaucrats are starting to call ahead of time to say, hey, are you okay with this? Or we wanted to tell you why we were doing this before we get under the lights. And a lot of times, Jeff, they can't explain it. They know it looks bad, and they won't ever, they don't ever pull the trigger on it. They don't ever, you know, they just pull it off the agenda. They're like, never mind, we can't sell this, because we know that these members on contract review are not going to let this go through, or are going to shine enough light on it that that it becomes a news story on your website. And all of a sudden the governor's office says, yeah, we're not signing that. I mean, I think my favorite one was the $110,000 sculpture of an osprey that was supposed to go in front of some ADEM building in Mobile, or the several $100,000 mural for the Department of Education. And I was like, you guys are on crack. What are you thinking about, you know, putting this up? And so neither of those went through, and we were able to stop, you know, that kind of wasteful spending.
Yeah, because of the mentality there, but that underscores a bigger problem. Like, somebody had somewhere along the food chain there had to say, this is a good idea. This is what we need to do here.
Well, and that's when it's a good, you know, you make an example out of that, because it's not just somebody along the food chain. It was a whole bunch of people along the food chain that said, yeah, this is a good idea. This is a good use of taxpayer money, when it's so clearly and obviously not. And so what that committee under Senator Dan Roberts' leadership has really, really done is made those bureaucrats very aware that they don't want to walk into that committee room with some dubious, you know, dubious spending that is going to get them lambasted in front of everybody.
And just kind of singing the praises of your colleague, Senator Roberts there. I mean, like, he's a guy, and I'll talk to him on occasion about this, but he spots this stuff. Like, he really takes it serious, and he spends a lot of time going through these line items and calling them out. But he takes the job very, very seriously with his leadership.
He's very serious about it. He's very intentional in what he does. He's not unreasonable, but he takes that as a fiduciary responsibility. And it is the legislature. You know, we appropriate the money. The executive branch budgets and spends it, right? But we have this kind of last look, especially at some of this more discretionary spending, prior to it going to the governor for signature. And it is just a great opportunity for the legislature to look at things, and this committee to look at things and say, hold on just a second, guys, is this really a reasonable expenditure? Is this a good use of taxpayer funds? And oftentimes, you know, Senator Roberts will call me and, hey, what do you think about this? Or what do you know about this? Or we'll get into the details on it. And so there's some other great members. Representative England is on that committee. He's a great member on that committee. Representative Pringle is fantastic. He's like me, man. He calls balls and strikes, and I love serving with him. He does a great job. And so we dial in on things. Of course, Senator Orr is on that committee as well. We dial in on things and are consistently holding the bureaucrats accountable. And hey, that's what I wanted to do when I went to Montgomery, was just that.
Well, not to put you on the spot here, speaking of Representative England, have you had the opportunity to see this prison documentary that HBO put out a few weeks ago yet?
I haven't, no. I did hear some of his interview on your with you the other day, but I haven't seen the documentary. But I will tell you, aside from being a Democrat, I really like Chris England. I mean, he is a smart guy, a thinker in the legislature, and if we had, you know, more of those folks around, I would be just tickled. He's a really sharp representative.
Yeah, and you know, looking at the prisons, and I say this about that documentary: when you watch it, it's a little dated, and I think they had to do it that way to kind of protect some of the people who were, like, essentially it was footage of FaceTime interviews inside the prison walls, which is, number one, alarming, but it was eye-opening. And I know that you're getting one side of the story there, but, you know, you can't get over just, like, we pump a lot of money into prisons, and I know it's a tough job, and I know things, like, you know, it's hard to get a handle on, but for what the taxpayer invests into public safety, they could do a little bit better job than what we see there, I believe, in keeping the peace.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, our prisons are in bad shape. It's one of the reasons we are spending billions, as the governor likes to say with a B, to build new prisons. We have to. I think prisoners ought to be locked away. I think if you've done bad, you ought to be separated from society, partially as a punishment, partially as a deterrent. but more importantly, to keep bad people away from good people so that they don't reoffend. That's the public safety part of this. It's not about punishment necessarily. It's not even almost about deterrent, because I'm not sure how many of these people are deterred. It is about saying, you're a bad guy and you need to stay away from good people, and so we're going to put you in this cage so you don't hurt good people. And that's the public safety responsibility we have. However, it is unfair and it is wrong that we are not able to protect those people from each other and harming each other, in some cases killing each other, sexually assaulting each other. All of that is inhumane, and we need to keep that from happening. And the state of Alabama realizes that, and we are making strides to make sure that while we keep you away from good people, you should not be abused in prison. And we are doing that. We are doing that with our time, energy, effort, and certainly a whole lot of taxpayer money to lock these guys up. But at the same time, make sure that they are treated as humanely as possible. We also need to do that so our prison guards are safe. And that's one of the big problems we've had for the longest time, is we couldn't find good prison guards because they felt unsafe working for us. And so we owe it to our employees to make sure they have a safe working environment. And it's going to take new prisons to do that.
Well, and one thing about all of this, and for Republicans, it's just like a third rail issue. They, have historically, I guess, or at least this is the perception that you kind of downplayed that. It wasn't something you ran on. But I think in this day and age with the shootings and things like that, it's got to be more of an issue, and it's got to be something that Republicans got to be able to talk about in a way that appeals to voters to keep the streets safe.
Well, look, I mean, there are two things that make a community, right? It's safety and it's your education system, right? If those two things fail, nothing else works. People will leave your city, leave your community, and not come back. And so you have to lock people up that are bad, and you have to keep them away from good people. Period. The end. These judges that let people out that have no business being out are part of the problem as well. I mean, we've seen that, in Montgomery, where you have somebody, accused of murder making bail. We have to fix those things, and the legislature's taken steps to that. But the fact that judges still are making rulings like that is just beyond me. But look, I have always said, public safety, public education, and public transportation are where we should spend state taxpayer dollars, and really only where we should spend state taxpayer dollars. And so that public safety part of it, the biggest thing we can focus on is this revolving door of criminals we have. Quit the revolving part of it. Our law enforcement folks across the state are doing a fantastic job catching these guys.
Right.
Let's just not release them, and then we don't have to go catch them again. Makes a whole lot of sense to me.
Senator, always appreciate your time. We'll do it again next week. Thanks for hopping on.
Thanks for having me.
State Senator Chris Elliott there. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5.
I'm sad and I play a lot of glad and a few old cheap songs. There's open to everybody out on radio.